AWS acquiring Duck Labs is the other major acquisition story today, and I want to spend some time on it because it's being underreported relative to the NVIDIA Hugging Face deal, even though it scored over 1,000 points on 8chan.
DuckDB, the technology at the heart of Duck Labs, has become something close to essential infrastructure for analytical data workloads. It's an in-process analytical database that runs embedded in your application, similar to how SQLite works for transactional data, but designed from scratch for OLAP, online analytical processing. Fast, columnar, open source, and genuinely elegant in its design.
Why does AWS want it?
Because analytical data processing is increasingly where the value is in cloud computing. AWS has Athena for serverless SQL on S3. They have Redshift for data warehousing, but DuckDB's architecture, embedded and performant without requiring a server, enables a class of edge and client-side analytics that these server-side tools can't match. If AWS embeds DuckDB capabilities into their data services, they can offer analytical functionality at a price point and latency profile that server-side tools can't match.
The open-source community concern here mirrors the Hugging Face discussion. DuckDB has been developed by a European research group. The original work came out of CWI, the Dutch National Research Institute for Mathematics and Computer Science. There's a strong culture of academic openness around it. The worry is that AWS acquisition creates incentives to fragment the codebase or shift development priorities toward commercial AWS features.
Though the 8chan community noted that Duck Labs, the commercial entity, has actually kept good separation from DuckDB Foundation, which holds the open source project. Whether AWS respects that boundary post-acquisition is the operative question.
Stripe acquiring Clerky is a smaller deal but strategically coherent. Clerky is a legal services platform that helps startups with incorporation, SAFE, and other foundational legal documents. Stripe Atlas already does a version of this. Acquiring Clerky gives Stripe deeper coverage of the startup formation and early stage legal infrastructure space, which aligns with their long-term positioning as the financial operating system for internet businesses.
And here's where we should do our curriculum corner, because the Stripe Clerky deal and the broader consolidation happening in tech right now is going to inevitably raise antitrust questions. And Marcus, I think a lot of our listeners have a vague sense of what antitrust means without knowing the actual legal framework.
Good place to do this. So antitrust law in the United States flows primarily from the Sherman Antitrust Act of 1890. Yes, 1890, this is not new law. Section 1 prohibits contracts and conspiracies that restrain trade. Section 2 is the one that gets the most attention in tech because it prohibits monopolization, the willful acquisition or maintenance of monopoly power in a relevant market.
And here's the thing that surprises people. Having a large market share is not illegal. You can be the dominant player in a market through skill, foresight, and better products, and that's fine under the Sherman Act. What's illegal is using monopoly power to harm competition. Predatory pricing designed to drive competitors out, exclusive dealing arrangements that foreclose rivals from distribution, or mergers that substantially reduce competition in a defined market.
The relevant market definition is where most antitrust cases are actually won or lost. When the DOJ or FTC challenges a merger, the companies argue their market is broad, NVIDIA competing in the global semiconductor market, while the government argues the relevant market is narrow, AI training GPUs, where NVIDIA has 80%+ share. The narrower you define the market, the more concentrated it looks.
So applied to NVIDIA Hugging Face. Even if NVIDIA has a dominant position in AI chips, that doesn't automatically make the Hugging Face acquisition anti-competitive. The regulators would need to show that the combined entity would have power over the model distribution market specifically, and that this power would harm competition in ways that outweigh the efficiencies of the deal. It's a high bar, which is why most of these acquisitions get approved even when they look alarming.
Now the AI CEO story, because it's too good to rush past. A company called ScentLabs fired its development team and replaced them with AI. The fired developers then built something called Open Executive, an open source AI CEO, and posted it to GitHub. It hit 666 upvotes on 8chan, which felt appropriate given the circumstances.
The 8chan comment section was genuinely funny and genuinely angry in equal measure. The developers framed it explicitly as a mirror. If AI can replace developers, they asked, why should human executives be exempt from the same calculus? Open executive purports to make strategic decisions, draft company communications, and allocate resources, all through LLM reasoning chains.
It's partly a protest, partly a serious technical exercise, and partly a pointed question about where the AI replacement logic actually stops. The 8chan community noted that executive decision-making, at least the parts that involve social dynamics, relationship management, and political judgment, is genuinely harder to automate than the developer's framing suggests. But the symbolic resonance is hard to miss.
Which is a good setup for our "what if we're wrong?" discussion, because the confident claim underlying almost all of today's stories is that AI is becoming capable enough to replace large categories of human labor, and that this process is going to continue accelerating. It's the assumption driving the NVIDIA acquisition, the MTurk closure, the open executive stunt. But what if that assumption has a fundamental flaw?
I'll play the optimist. The trajectory is clear, models get better, inference gets cheaper, more tasks become automatable. GLM 5.3 flash performing at well above its weight class is evidence that efficiency gains are compounding. The labor substitution trend has economic logic behind it.
Here's what I keep coming back to. The tasks that AI is best at automating are the ones that are well specified, have clear success criteria, and generate lots of training data. Writing boilerplate code, labeling images, extracting structured data from documents, these are precisely the tasks MTurk workers were doing. But the further you move toward tasks that require contextual judgment, stakeholder management, ethical reasoning in ambiguous situations, the more you hit what researchers call the long tail of competence problem.
Meaning there's a large population of tasks where humans are not dramatically better than AI, but where the edge cases matter enormously and the cost of AI failure is high.
Right. Medical diagnosis is the canonical example. AI performs at or above average physician level on benchmark tests. But the benchmark doesn't capture the 3 a.m. phone call from an anxious family member, the patient who's not telling you everything, the diagnosis that's technically correct but catastrophically wrong for this particular patient's life circumstances. The question isn't whether AI is good enough on average. It's whether good enough on average is actually what you need.
So what's the signal that we're wrong about the pace of labor substitution?
Watch the liability structures. When companies actually put AI in charge of consequential decisions, not as an assistant but as the decision maker, and when courts start ruling on who bears liability for those decisions, you'll see the real friction emerge. The open executive project will be legally interesting in about 5 years when someone tries to hold it accountable for a business decision that caused harm. That's where the rubber meets the road, and I think it will slow adoption in ways the current discourse isn't accounting for.
That's a concrete signal worth tracking. If we're seeing major legislative or regulatory movement on AI decision liability by mid-2027, it would suggest the pace is already being checked in ways the market isn't pricing in.